Bow your heads with me forward of prayer. Father, we just want to give you praise tonight that your love is unstoppable, that your love never changes, and that nothing, Heavenly Father, can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that our performance cannot separate us from you, that the powers of hell cannot separate us from you, that our worries for today, our fears for tomorrow, or what might happen 10 years from now, nothing will change the love of God, the passionate, all-consuming love of God for each of his children. And Father, we just ask you tonight that you would speak to our hearts, that as the result of the worship tonight, that our hearts would be soft and ready, ground that's ready to receive the seed of God, to receive the word of God. Give us, Lord, humility this evening. Help us understand, Heavenly Father, this vital, vital lesson from Jesus Christ. As if we were sitting in the thousands tonight of the crowds that heard this message and heard the ferociousness with which you shared it and communicated and warned your disciples. Father, give us hearts this evening that say, oh God, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Show me what to do and I'll do it. Help us, Lord God, to be people who practice the teachings of Jesus Christ, who live them, who embrace them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've actually been looking forward to sharing this message for some time. The lesson that I want to cover with you tonight is a lesson. This series is entitled Profound Lessons from Jesus. This one tonight, in particular, has had a deep and profound impact on my own soul, especially as a father and as a pastor. If you're a parent here tonight, I'd like you to give a special listen to this message, but it is for every person, and you'll understand as we get into this. This message, actually, this topic, scares me. It's one of the reasons it's had such an impact on my life. I don't know, actually, if there's anything that scares me more than the subject that we're going to talk about tonight. And I'll never forget when I first read it as a young believer, it really kind of shook me to the core. But it was also, it deeply resonated with me because it was the reason that I walked away from Christianity as a young man. So I'm going to read to you first from Matthew chapter 23, and then we'll get into this. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples that were gathered, and in one other passage that we're going to look at, it describes that there were literally thousands upon thousands of people crowding around Jesus, stepping on one another. So this was a massive crowd of people, including the religious leaders of the time. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees are occupying Moses' position. They're in the seat of Moses. Therefore, do and observe whatever they tell you, but do not behave as they do, for they talk and they do not practice. They tie up heavy loads and they place them on people's shoulders, but they themselves do not care to move them with their finger. They conduct all their activities to be noticed by men, for they enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their fringes. They cherish the chief place at dinners and the best seat in the synagogue, the greetings in the marketplaces, and they love to be called rabbi, teacher, leader by men. But you must not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no one on earth your father, for one is your heavenly father. Neither be called great leader, for you have one great leader, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you must be your servant. For whoever elevates himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be elevated. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For neither do you enter, nor do you allow those entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For as a pretext for your piety, you pray long prayers, and then you cheat widows out of their home. For this you will receive greater judgment. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, religious people, hypocrites! For you travel sea and land to make one proselyte, one convert, and when he becomes one, you make him a son of hell, twice worse than yourself. Woe to you, blind leaders, who say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the temple's gold, he is bound for an oath. Blind fools! For which is greater, the gold or the temple that renders the gold sacred? Furthermore, you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if he swears by the offering on it, he's bound by an oath. Blind, blind, blind hypocrites. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you tithe your mint, your dill, your cumin, your vegetables, your oats. But you omit the weightier aspects of the law, justice, mercy, compassion, and faithfulness. These you ought to do without omitting the others. Blind leaders who strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of a cup, but inside of your life you're full of greed and self-indulgence and selfishness. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate so that its outside may be clean as well. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you resemble whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and every impurity. So you seem to men on the outside, wow, they're incredible, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and you decorate the monuments of the righteous, and you say, if we had lived in the day of our fathers, we would not have killed them. Thus you testify against yourself, for you, the sons of the prophets, murderers, fill up the measure of your fathers, you snakes, you brood of vipers. How will you escape the sentence of hell? Well, this got Jesus killed. I don't know if you know that. It was right after this message that Jesus gave publicly. The Bible describes the Pharisees and the leaders as furious. They were livid. And they plotted how to kill him. In Luke chapter 12, we find this. Meanwhile, countless people were massed around Jesus, so they stepped on one another, and he began to primarily say to his disciples, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. Watch out, that is, for hypocrisy. Nothing is hidden that will not be shown, or secret that will not be brought to light. So whatever you say in the dark, it will be heard in the light, and whatever you whisper in your ear within a private room will be proclaimed on the roofs." Now, I'm being really honest with you. This text, these two passages, they scare me. They scare me. Because I realize the toxic, deadening effect of hypocrisy on the children that I raised. I realize the toxic killer effect that a hypocritical leader or pastor has on his flock when, after years of looking like one thing on the outside, only to discover that all that he was in private, just as it says here, comes to light because nothing will be. Parents, please listen up to this tonight. Young person, listen up to this tonight. There is nothing more destructive in your parenting than hypocrisy. And it will undermine everything. You may be trying to do good things, but there's daily, weekly, monthly inconsistencies in your life, and they go on and on and on. Your children see them. You act to your friends one way, but at home you're another. Never forget this. You are what you really are at home. Who you are at home, that's who you really are. Not who you are on Facebook, not who you are with friends, not who you are with your girlfriends or your buddies, but who you are towards your spouse, who you are towards your children. That is who you are. And I'm going to tell you, I have seen over the years, hypocrisy has been the greatest blow to the credibility of Christianity in our nation. Oh, you might, I know what's going on in our nation. I'm very well read. I understand what's going on politically. I understand what's going on in our schools. And I understand what's going on in our churches. And so many of them are filled with hypocrites. With people who say one thing, but they live another. And their children see it. And the people they work with see it. They see the bigotry. They see the lack of love, the lack of compassion, the lack of mercy. They see our lack of integrity. But oh, we're to church every week, and we got our bumper stickers on our car. You know, I just regularly, I don't know how else to say this. I guess this is how to say it. I just regularly put the fear of God in myself. And one of the ways that I do that is I look in the mirror often. I ask myself, what am I producing? What do those that are close to me see? All of us, I want to make something clear so you don't misunderstand. All of us fail at times to live up to our beliefs. It's when we fail all the time and the inconsistency is just a way of life, we've crossed the line. We're hypocrites. All of us are going to speak sometimes and say things, I wished I hadn't said that. And the humble person will acknowledge it and seek to make it right. The hypocrite will tend to make excuses for it over and over and over and over again. I believe, and I have observed, I want you to think about this. Every adult in this room, this will be so profound, you'll go, wow, that's deep, Mark. Every one of us in this room were children once. Isn't that deep? So deep. Every one of us in this room were children living with either mom, dad, or mom, sometimes dad. And many of us, maybe, were coerced or forced to go to church. Maybe it was mass. Maybe you were a Lutheran denomination. I don't know what your denomination was. And you heard things, but the reality that you experienced at home was not what you heard, not what you saw. And as you grew up, that hypocrisy took root. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. You know what Jesus said? He said, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. I'm going to tell you a couple stories tonight, true stories. Some of you know that my daughter was very, very, very ill for a long time. One of the unknown things that was going on in Jessica's body, eventually they found, and by the way, about 50% of doctors don't even believe this, was yeast, systemic yeast poisoning throughout her body. And I mean it wreaked havoc on her body, on her skin, on her joints. It was a nightmare, and we lived it. And that was only part of what was happening to Jessica, but it was a big part. And it was unbelievably difficult to get rid of. Hypocrisy is like that yeast, and it grows up in your life, and your children, they reach a magic age where they begin to see you for who you really are. They begin to sniff it out. They recognize it, and it sickens them. It might be the husband who comes to church every week and he's just smiling at everybody, but he's screaming and yelling at his wife, mistreats her on a regular basis. He's unkind to her, unthoughtful to her, and the kids see it all the time. And it begins to be putrid to them. And finally, they just decide, I have no respect for you whatsoever. And they rebel. I'm just, again, this is what I've experienced, what I've seen, what I've observed. But I got to tell you something. Does it take work to follow Christ? Absolutely. Does it take dying to yourself? Absolutely. But it is so possible to win every single one of your children to Jesus Christ. I mean, my gosh, you live with them for 20 years. For 20 years, your life is a living billboard. They can touch God in you. They can see God in you. You're the greatest influencer in their life. And if you are allowing other things to influence them, that's your fault. Don't blame the world. Turn off the damn television. If you think the school's rotting them out, get them out of school and teach them yourself or put them somewhere where you can be confident in the education they'll receive. But you, mom and dad, what they see in you day in and day out, that's the power. And that's either the power to corrupt them and turn them from God or draw them to God. They're hanging around bad friends. Stop it. Change the reality. Change the reality. I've had parents tell me, oh, Mark, you don't know what it's like today. You know, and this is my youngest, and he's 26. So I realized that today we got 8-year-olds with their own smartphone. I'll tell you, no 8-year-old of mine would have a smartphone. What in the crap does an 8-year-old need a smartphone for? What does a 12-year-old need it for? What does a 15-year-old need it for? Do you understand the temptation of what's on that phone right in their pocket at the touch of a finger? And your 50-year-old's got raging hormones in his body and he can see every naked possible woman he wants right in his pocket. You don't think his friends are doing that? You have rocks for brains. As a mom and dad, we took our role extremely seriously. We were not perfect, but we fought like crazy for their lives and for their soul. And the biggest way in which we fought was against our own flesh and to walk with Jesus Christ and have him be Lord of our life, because I knew the thing that, you got to understand, they have a double whammy. Not only do they have a Christian dad, but he's the pastor. And we all know what PK kids are like. This scared the crap out of me. I mean, this really scared me. Now, I'm going to tell you 3 or 4 true stories. Some happened just this year. Some happened many years ago. All of them I'm very aware of. All of them had to do with pastors. When I was a young Christian, there was a famous evangelist who I had heard about. I read about his life. He was an evangelist in the 20s and the 30s. You know, he had revival meetings, led thousands of people to Christ. He was an absolute prohibitionist. He spoke against the evils of alcohol. You may not realize this now, but do we have an alcohol problem in America? Sure. But what it was like then, it'd blow your mind. It would blow your mind how much alcoholism was in the early 1900s and the teens and in the 20s. It was unbelievable. This man traveled all over. He quit his professional athlete. He married. He had kids. Every one of his sons grew up to be alcoholics while dad's out preaching. Every one of his sons. Every one of his children had at least 2 divorces. And he just kept traveling, doing his thing. Then when I first started following Christ, I was about 19, 20. I got turned on to this book someone gave me by this famous pastor, godly man, you know, insightful man, wrote so many devotionals. All these names you'd know if I said them. Well, some of you in the room would, some of you would not, and that's okay. And one of these books I had read many times, and it still today, it does have meaning to me because, you know, it was about the character of God, and it really meant a lot. Well, this man died in 1966. I didn't know much about him until a man decided, who really looked up to him, to do a biography about him in 2009. So for 2 years, he did this biography, and the wife was still alive, so he interviewed the wife. This man was known almost as a Christian mystic. He spent 5 or 6 hours a day with God reading his Bible. He had 7 children. This man interviewed all 7 children and the wife. And all the children said, well, to be honest, we never knew our dad. He just never had any involvement in our lives. The wife had gone to remarry one of the converts of this man, who had come to know Christ under his preaching. And when this biographer asked her, tell me a little bit about your husband, she simply said, well, my former husband, blah, 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 loved Jesus. My new husband really loves me, and I've never been happier. This man's books and messages have gone out by the millions all over the world. And most of them were about being caught up with Christ and worshiping Christ and loving Christ. If you love Christ but do not love your wife and she doesn't feel like it, you're a hypocrite. The Bible says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to love the brethren. God is love, and whoever walks in love knows God, for God is love. When I read this, I found it online. A friend told me about it, and I'm not lying to you. I admit I'm an emotional person. I take things in very deeply. I've prayed for years, God would just give me a soft, pliable heart. I just wept. I just sat at the screen and thought, my gosh, Lord, is anybody going to be genuine? 3 years ago, this well-known pastor, young pastor, up-and-coming pastor, mega pastor, man, things are growing. He's got a church in Florida. His dad's a pastor, doing good things, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Found out he was having an affair on his wife and he was a user on the side. Then found out throughout the papers his wife had to get a court order because he was also pretty overbearing and some might say abusive. And a year after he stepped down from his ministry and the church lost thousands of people, he shot himself. Just last October, there's an individual, if I mention this name, you'd all know, I won't. One of the most prominent young pastors on the web, has a church of about 15, 20,000 with all the satellite churches they have. Raised up lots of pastors, preached the gospel, preached God's word. Turns out everybody around him kind of knew he was kind of a bully, kind of overbearing, kind of haughty, kind of arrogant, you know, sort of hypocritical. And finally, the groundswell grew so much that he resigned. 7,000 people left the church. People lost their jobs. The church is disbanded. A lot of people are disillusioned. Hypocrisy is deadly. It's deadly. It's deadly. And it will destroy your life. It will destroy your family. You know, ladies, I want you to think, you moms, you wives, if you talk to your friends the way you talk to your husband, if you treated your friends the way you treat your husband, what your kids see, would you have any friends? Husbands, same. Young person, single person, you may be here tonight and you know, you're trying to live for God and yet on the side you're sleeping around with your girlfriend. You don't think that hypocrisy is going to come out at work? You don't think it's kind of be the laughing stock? You're going to bring up God and people are going to like snicker like, yeah, you're no different than anybody else. And whether you realize it or not, this disease is the worst one in modern Christianity. It's the worst one. It's the worst one. You see, we've bought into the lie without realizing it, just like the Pharisees, just like that celebrity is all that matters. Celebrity is what matters. It's all about image, and we manage our image. Can't manage your image at home. Everybody there really knows you. Everybody there really knows you. And they either admire you or inside they despise you. And it scares me to death. And did every day that I had my children in my home to think to myself as I laid in my bed, my children could despise me. And I will move hell and high water to make sure it never happens. Which means I will keep fighting Mark Darling. I will keep fighting his flesh. I will keep beating him down. I will keep crying out to God to help me grow because I am not going to give them a reason to disbelieve. Rather, I want to give them a reason, lots of reasons to believe. Now, they know I have flaws. They saw them. I've told you this before. I can't tell you how many times I got impatient and I went to them in tears and apologized and acknowledged my wrong. None of us are perfect. We're not talking about perfection here. But I've been at conferences before. Well, I'll ask room full of adults. So just how many of you ever remember before you left home? Okay, so before, you know, 0 to 18 or 20, whenever you left home. How many of you ever remember a mother or father coming to you and acknowledging I wronged you, would you forgive me, and apologizing? And I mean, you'll barely get any hands in the room. That's really hypocrisy. Because we all know we're human and we all know we're going to make mistakes. Friends, listen to me tonight. This Christianity, the Christianity that you really believe in and practice on your spouse and your kids or your roommate or your family, extended family, is the Christianity you really believe in. That's the view of Christianity your kids will take from you. Not what they get down in that Sunday school. That Sunday school that we have, you know, School of Rock, which I just love our little rock kids. My family's invested very heavily. Many of you rockers, you the moms and dads and singles help so faithfully down. It couldn't even happen. We have like almost 100 volunteers. But if that little child goes home, they're with us an hour, you know, an hour and a half. And they go home for 166 hours a week. And they see just the opposite. We don't have a snowball's chance in hell to overcome the hypocrisy that they see every day going on at home. And that ought to just tear your heart out. And every one of us, it just ought to get us on our face before God and say, God, remove from me this yeast. Spare me from being a hypocrite. Do you know what the word woe means? It means sorrow. Sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow. How many parents I have talked to who are brokenhearted with a wayward child? Sorrow upon sorrow. And of course, when I'm talking to them, I want you to understand something. My goal is to be compassionate and understanding. And so I don't begin trying to pull back the covers at that moment. But often, as I try to reach out to their child, which they'll ask me to do sometimes, you'll begin to just discover hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And you realize there's a reason. There's contributing factors that were very significant and toxic to this young person's life as to why they veered away from Jesus. They veered away from the gospel. They veered away from Christ because what they saw at home sickened them. And they thought to themselves, well, if that's Christianity, I don't really want anything to do with it. Our children, they will either see I am the genuine deal, or they will smell the hypocrisy of my life and lose all respect for me and rebel. And sorrow upon sorrow will come down on my soul. Nothing has alienated more children from God than the hypocritical lives of their father or mother. Do you know the verse when we looked at what Jesus said? You tithe this, you give that. Some of us need to repent of that. We don't even tithe. We don't give God what's his. Do you realize that? If I can just say really humbly, so let's say you're a parent, you've got children, you're trying to teach them about God, right? And you're trying to teach them things about God. And in your garage is your $55,000 Lexus because you had to have it, and you got $450 payments, and you wouldn't dream of giving God $450 a month, which isn't even close to your tithe if you can afford a $450,000 a month Lexus. Your children will find that out. See, they'll see. Your life will be self-revealing. That's what Jesus meant when he said, what you thought was secret, it ain't going to be secret. Everybody's going to know it. It's all going to come out. And what you were whispering, what you were really like there behind closed door, it's all going to come out. And it's going to break your heart. It's going to break your heart. When Jesus said, you've forgotten the weightier things of the law. Justice, being fair. Are we fair in our lives? Are we just? Do we stand up for what's right? 2, mercy. Remember last week we talked about compassion. Compassion and mercy, very similar. Are we mercy people? And 3, faithfulness. Actually, this is a beautiful word. We don't use it much anymore. It means fidelity. The real word is fidelity. Fidelity means loyal to the bone, to a set of values, committed to them. You're committed to them. And yet let's just talk about this for a moment. And again, I know there's all kinds of circumstances that this has happened. It's happened in my extended family, and I realize that often there's things that you think, I can't change. But we have become a society of divorce. We have become a divorce culture. We don't even have fealty to the vows that we made. We take them so lightly, and when the going gets tough, we get going. And we're looking around. Instead of changing, how many marriages could simply be saved if I changed? If I just changed, if I repented, if I became like Christ and loved him or loved her and was kind and thoughtful and considerate instead of being self-indulgent. And I watched my mouth and I watched my words and I nurtured the relationship instead of killing it. Our children see that. See, they see that. They see, wow. You know, as they grow up, they begin to put it all together and go, you know, my mom and dad couldn't even keep the promises. What chance do I have? We'll all do better. But then they find out as they go through, they don't have the tools. You know what? Because the tools are character. It takes character to make a marriage work. It takes character. And hypocrisy is the opposite of character. It takes character that deepens, that grows, that develops, that becomes like Christ. Only those who truly practice what they believe will have good and powerful impacts on those around them. Never forget this. Only those who practice what they believe will have good and powerful impacts on those around them. Hypocrisy has done great damage to the credibility of Christianity today because of the hypocritical lives of so many Christians and so many leaders. Wherever you are today, here's the thing I want you to know. Wherever you are, whatever God may be revealing to you, you can change. This is the power, you see, of the gospel. And if we're a Christian already, we know the gospel. It's the power of repentance. The power of turning around, and I'm going to go the other way. The power of acknowledgement. The power of the willingness to say, God, that's been my life. That's been my life. It's not going to be that anymore. I'm going to change. And step by step by step, we begin to change. Have you ever been desperate? I mean, really, really, really desperate. Because, again, I'll always be honest with you here. Now, you may not like the honesty, and I understand that. But I promise, to the best of my ability, I'll always seek to tell you the truth with grace. But here's the reality, okay? If you don't have a desperation for God, then you don't have a chance at this Christianity thing. If you don't see your tremendous need of Christ, I need you, God. I need you, God. I want growth. I want to change. I want to become a more loving man or a more patient man. You won't see a need to read the book. Why do I need the food of God? Why do I need the word of God? Why do I need to let God shape me? I'm okay. I don't really care that much anyway. I got other goals in my life, other things I want to achieve. I don't. You see, God wants to give you all, I don't know if you know this, but he wants to give you a tremendous quality of life. I wouldn't trade my quality of life for anything in the world. He enriches us in every way. But my primary desire is I want to be like you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Work in my life. Grow me as a husband. Grow me as a father. Grow me as a communicator. Grow me as a man. Make me more like Christ. And if that's not where you're headed, then this will be the inevitable end of your life. Hypocrisy. There's going to be hypocrisy, deep-seated hypocrisy. Now, some of you here, maybe there's people, sometimes here's the best place to start. When you recognize God has shown you something, and it involves maybe a child, some of you here more my age this evening, some of you maybe are a young person with a mom and dad, and you've been trying to be a witness, and the bottom line is when you go home, you loaf, you're lazy, you moan, you complain, and that's kind of how they knew you. You got some repenting to do. You've got some, you know what, mom and dad, I'm sorry. I recognize I was kind of like a spoiled brat, and I'd like to ask you forgiveness. I recognize now as I step back and honestly look at my life, I made things very hard for you. They'll be shocked. They'll wonder if an alien just inhabited your body. You see, there's ways that we can make things right, but then realize this. You're going to have to earn their trust. That's okay. That's okay, because we've got Jesus in our life, and I'm planning on living this the rest of my life. I'm planning on going down this road. I'm going to keep going down this road. We may fall down. We may make mistakes, but I'm going to get back up, claim the cross, claim the blood of Jesus Christ. He's forgiven that sin, and I'm going to keep walking and striving to become the person he wants me to be. Let's bow our heads. Father, tonight, oh God, this message, Lord, is much for me as anyone. Lord, oh God, I disdain hypocrisy. I don't want it in my life. I want to be a man who lives out the reality of his faith, the reality of Bible values, the reality of what I believe. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me with my own children, with my wife, with my congregation, with my grandchildren, with my family, extended family, with all who know me. Help me, God, to walk in a manner worthy of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be humble men and women. Help us if there's amends we need to make them. Help us if there's a forgiveness needed to be asked, that we ask it. Help us to acknowledge if we've consistently wronged someone, to acknowledge it. So that, Lord, we might be the light for Jesus that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.